Blog Talk Radio.
At the beginning of the song, I make a comment about a fan on Instagram saying that, you know, they don't listen to my music because I don't drive a fancier type of car like a real rapper. And it was honestly a comment as trivial as it sounds. It was a comment online from I wouldn't call them a fan because I guess they weren't a fan of mine, but it was a comment online from a person, and that made me realize, like, wow, there's people who would not listen to my music or take my music seriously because they hear me talking about me driving a 1998 Honda. And I was like, that just shows how twisted some of our mindsets in terms of priorities. And
welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Midday Money Show, your weekly shot of uncommon financial good sense. I'm Tony Husbands, a financial coach with the Debt Free Divas, and I love talking about all things as they relate to your money. This week, we have a special treat for you, something a little different than I've done ever on the Midday Money Show. I have a chance to sit down with the artist currently known as D1, and if you haven't heard of D1 just yet, take a listen to his video gone viral, No Note, all about driving a car without any car note.
Man, I'm trying to be smart with my money, and actually, I'm in love with my car. Plus, I ain't got no car note. Damn it. Let's go.
I don't care what they drive. I don't mind how they roll. I don't want what they got. So what if my car holds?
I love my 98 Honda. Think I'm finna let it go? Nope.
Why not?
Because I ain't got no car.
D1 is a New Orleans native, and you'll be able to tell that very quickly. I love his accent, who began his career as a middle school teacher after graduating from Louisiana State University. By day, he was Mr. Augustine to fund his dream of becoming a hip-hop superstar. He released his first mixtape in March of 2011 and has been going strong ever since. So if your head's not a-bopping and your fingers aren't snapping, then I think you might want to head over to the show notes for this episode. D1, a fiscally responsible messenger for good, and check out his video when you head over to my website, debtfreedivas.org.
Let's just start from the beginning. Like, how did you initially were a teacher by trade? What subjects did you teach?
I taught math and I taught life skills. I taught 8th grade math and 6th grade life skills.
Oh, okay. In those classes, so you were teaching for a couple of years in that framework. Did you talk with your students about, you know, finances and, you know, money management, budgeting, things like that? Did that come up a bit?
Yeah, it came up a little bit. Back when I was teaching, I was more or less talking to them because they were middle schoolers, and I was really into talking to them about just decision-making skills and how one wrong decision could cost them their freedom or their life and things of that nature, because one thing that a lot of them were struggling with was just their identities how they start to take care of themselves. But definitely finances came up as part of that conversation, because how they chose to manage their money was something that I know could also affect their quality of life. So, yeah, so they used to see what I was, you know, that I was driving my 1998 Honda back then, and and they used to laugh at that. And it's like, I'm telling y'all why I do this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. That's awesome. Now, did they know you were D1 by night? Did your students know that?
They didn't know it at first, but then the second year I taught, they found out. Yep.
Oh, okay. That's so awesome. I really love that. So let's talk. So I reached out to you because I saw the video and the No Car Note video, and I love the lyrics. Tell me kind of what was the inspiration behind that. Was it the joking from your students? Do you still drive it?
Yeah, so I do still drive it, and okay. I at the beginning of the song, I make a comment about a fan on Instagram saying that, you know, they don't listen to my music because I don't drive a fancier type of car like a real rapper. And it was honestly a comment as trivial as it sounds. It was a comment online from I wouldn't call them a fan because I guess they weren't a fan of mine, but it was a comment online from a person, and that made me realize, like, wow, there's people who would not listen to my music or take my music seriously because they hear me talking about me driving a 1998 Honda, and I was like, that just shows how twisted some of our mindsets are in terms of priorities and how we view people on this earth. We'll view people based on, we'll assign a person's value based on the type of car they drive. And I see a big, big, big problem with that, especially in the Black community more than any other community. So that's what made me want to write the song.
Okay. So what's been the reaction then to the song from your non-fans? I know your fans are loving it because it's breaking the internet. You know, got my husband who is, you know, is everything anti-pop culture. You know, we're in our 40s now, so 40s with little kids, so we do Sesame Street and, you know, that's our life. So so when it breaks through to you know, to our, you know, it gets into our radar, you know that this is really picking up steam, which is awesome because, again, like I said, as a person who is very passionate, if you will, about personal finances and sharing my message of paying off debt and things like that. You know, your song, I was like, that's when I posted, I was like, this should be the debt-free anthem. I really was, because it's catchy. First of all, it's catchy. It's a good song. But then your message is just amazing. So how has it resonated with those non-fans?
So with non-fans, it's letting people see that I'm not afraid to embrace my spending habits and my unique style. And it's unique by rapper standards, but it's showing people that I'm not afraid to embrace that. And I think that in life, I think that's what always allows people to accept you, is when they see like, hey, this person is different, but they're confident with it. And the confidence that comes along with being different makes people say, well, even if I don't get it, I kind of have to respect it because this person is really just confident about what they're doing and how they're doing it. So the fact that I'm boldly stating, you know, that I drive a 98 Honda and that I, you know, that I love it because I don't have a car note, the way I present it in the music video, the stories I'm telling, detailing the, you know, the funny, I guess the funny things
issues
that come
that
along
you have,
with,
you know, your man more than you know your mom.
Exactly. Yeah. Like,
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. It makes people open up to it. So I've seen a lot of new fans come about because of the song. Like, the song has actually gotten me new fans. Yep.
That's cool. Well, yeah, you got a new fan in me because I'm like, ooh, and I can listen to this with my kids. We were dancing. And, you know what I mean? So
yep.
I am really appreciating your music and your ministry, definitely. So
thanks.
You were actually, speaking of your ministry, you were actually hanging out with the D-Free church recently.
I was.
You did some ministered, I guess, there during their conference. Tell me about that.
Yes, so I was there this past weekend up there in Somerset, New Jersey with the D-Free ministry, and it's just great to see that I have settled into a, I guess you would call it a pocket or a circle where there's other like-minded individuals, people who share the same faith as me, but also share the same value system in terms of prioritizing your finances and wanting to be financially literate in terms of how you're spending money and wanting to reach the youth with this message. So that's exactly what D-Free was. And I got this tour and performed to a bunch of teenagers who are not otherwise, you know, being presented with a message about being financially literate and being smart with their money and their consumption habits, you know, and planting those seeds for when they get older. But they were introduced to these concepts by attending the D-Free conference, and then also they get to see an artist who is, you know, the living manifestation of someone who does care about these principles. So they get to see it in real life. It's not just vague concepts that are being taught to them, but they see it embodied in D1. So it was great, and it's just great to know that I'm not alone in this journey.
You're not at all, my brother. So, yeah, again, like I said, we might be a little slow, you know, getting hip to whatever's out there, with, you know, the good news that's out there. But I can't say it enough. I am so overjoyed that I love hip-hop. I'm like an old-school hip-hop head, right? So I love hip-hop, but I can't listen to it, a lot of it nowadays. It just, you know, it's just gone in a different direction. So to, like, find an artist who is a true artist, who's speaking about something meaningful, and also, you know, who likes to dance still. This is definitely a joy. So that's why I said I really want to share this, because you got a whole generation out here that really can that really appreciate that message. And it's a good way, like you say, to pass it on. How, since you're working, you know, since you're, I guess, not working with, but, you know, you're reaching young people and teens, what have you seen in terms of, like, changing attitudes about the stuff, like the material, like the focus on materialism and the focus on consumerism in our community? Have you started to notice any changes in attitudes?
Have I? So I actually have, because by me growing up in New Orleans, I think we were at the epicenter of materialism when it came to our culture as it pertains to the type of values we were raised with and the type of music we listened to. The term bling bling, for example, you know, just that originated down here, and the term being we call it being a stunner, you know, that originated down here. And that's all about just buying jewelry and
right.
and being a stunner is about stunning, like showing off what you
uh-huh.
have. And basically, if you don't have anything to stunt with, then you're not invited to the club. You know, you're not invited to the party. You're not part of the popular crowd. So that being said, though, it was like it was almost like part of the hip-hop uniform. Like, you had to have a certain type of car. You had to have a certain amount of jewelry. This was all part of, like, the hip-hop kit. Like, you're not even a real rapper unless you had these type of things. Now, when I just even look at the rappers that are prominent on the scene where I'm from, I know that there's a lot less emphasis on that type of stuff, like jewelry and even the type of car you drive. That's not even the subject matter of choice for a lot of the rappers coming up now. And I appreciate that. I also think that that is reflective of the fact that people aren't as worried about that stuff. But what I didn't see was, I think people just don't emphasize that stuff anymore because people aren't making millions and millions of dollars like, you know, like they were in the past, as far as rappers who, you know, who have all this money to throw it at all these material possessions. But I do think that I hadn't seen anyone embracing the realities of what their lifestyle actually was. So for me, that's where I said, I don't want to just not talk about driving a Bugatti or driving a stretch Hummer on 28-inch rims. I don't want to just abstain from talking about that. I want to embrace talking about, what do I drive and why do I drive it? So that's the part where I wanted to give people an anthem for people who drive regular cars or people who have worked to pay off their car note or who are currently working to pay off their car notes. I wanted to give those people an anthem because there's a lot more people who drive Toyotas and Hondas and Nissans than people who drive Bentleys and Beamers and Bugattis.
Right. I totally appreciate that.
This episode is sponsored by Personal Capital, a free online tool that helps you keep track of your personal finances, folks. Track your spending, manage your investments, and keep up with everything through their secure mobile app. You can support the Midday Money Show and take advantage of this fabulous free tool by creating a free account with Personal Capital. Head over to debtfreedivas.org/personal and we'll show you the way.
So let's talk about, so you have another fun video about payback, right? So about paying your Sally Mae, yeah, just ignore her, about paying your Sally Mae loan off. Now, if you don't mind me asking, how much student loan debt did you have when you graduated?
So I've never revealed that to anyone in the media purposely. I haven't spoken on it. Yeah, a lot of people wanted to know. And one thing I realized, because I do pay attention to comments and what people say online, and one thing I realized that there was kind of a subplot developing to where some people were, instead of appreciating the song as an anthem to celebrate paying off your loans and whatnot, some people were more worried about the fact that, well, I got $100,000. He probably don't have as much as me. So, you know, whatever.
Oh, I see.
Like, this, you know, like that type of stuff. And it's like, golly, like I made this song for everybody who has debt to be able to, you know, feel it and understand it. That's why I embrace different professions in the video. I talk about varying amounts of student loan debt in the video. But I didn't want that to become something that overshadowed anything in a good or bad way. I didn't want people to say, oh, wow, well, I only have $25,000. Like, he got way more than me, so I don't feel like I'm, you know, qualified to really be into a song like this, or I don't feel like I fit in. I want, because my goal is not for people to be preoccupied with how much debt they have after they accumulate the debt. My goal is for people who are entering college or currently in college think more about how they approach, you know, paying for college. That's okay. My thing is
revealed. I feel you. I like that. I actually like that. Like being intentional about your purpose. So, which kind of leads to my next question. What are your feelings about student loan debt? Do you think that's something that we should, and we being, you know, college students, current college students, upcoming high school graduates, you think that's something we should avoid? Or do you think it's more of like, you know, just focus on it like you did right after, soon, and make sure this is not something that stays with you long term?
You have to start caring about your finances before you even get to college, because there's so much money out there and free scholarships that are available that all you have to do is apply for them. So you have to be conscious of how you're going to pay for school and your different options to pay for school before you even enter college. So that's when people should start thinking about it. And by all means, avoid student loans as much as possible. But if you have to take out loans, just be smart about it and understand the implications of taking out loans. Number one, you have to pay these loans back even if you don't graduate. So you shouldn't have the mindset of, oh, I just take these loans out and then, yeah, if school gets too hard, I just drop out and it is what it is. You know, no harm, no foul. I took out loans, but I didn't graduate, so, you know, we're even. It's like, no, you're not even. You still got to pay all that back. And, you know, the government is not going to, you know, say, oh, well, we'll go easier on you. Or these loan companies aren't going to say, well, since you didn't graduate, we'll go easier on you. It's like, no, now it may be harder to pay it back because your earning potential is a lot lower since you didn't graduate college. So that's something that I feel passionately about. And also, I kind of have a rule of thumb that I teach to students, which is I think you should aim to never take out as much in student loans, never take out more in student loans than what you expect your starting salary to be at your job. Because I think if you know what you're going to school for, like if I was going to school to be a teacher and I started out making about $45,000 a year, it wouldn't make any sense for me to have gone to the type of schools and had to take out the type of loans that amounted up to $90,000 and $100,000 if I know I'm going to school to be a teacher, which is going to pay me in the range of $45,000. That's going to make those payments extra stressful for me and abnormal in proportion to the amount of money I'm making. So I think that's something people should keep in mind too as they're taking out loans, is what am I going to school to be? Okay, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be making $250,000 a year. If I have to take out $150,000, $200,000 in loans, that may still sound like a lot, but when I think about what I'm going to be making, it makes sense. Like it's something I'll be able to afford these type of hefty payments, you know, so that's something to keep in mind as well. Yeah. So that's
okay. Nice. So you're on the Slingshot David tour, right? Does that have anything to do with Knocking Down Giants?
Of course, that has a lot to do with it. So that's the name of my current mixtape that I have out right now. I have a mixtape out called Slingshot David, the mixtape, 16 songs. Honestly, Sally Maybach is on there, No Car Note is on there.
Okay.
A bunch of amazing songs on there, and they're all absolutely free on this mixtape. So now I'm on the Slingshot David tour.
The songs
to the
are
West
free?
Coast. Yeah, the songs are free on the mixtape, yep. So.
Oh, okay. And we get that everybody can go to your site, which is d1music.com?
Yes, D-E-E, the number one, music.com, yep.
Oh, I didn't know they were free. So, but you're going to be on the West Coast. My brother's in Seattle, so you're going to be in Seattle on December 4th. I have to let him know.
Please let him know.
When are you coming to Chicago?
Right. So I'll be back in Chicago. I came to Chicago in September, but I'll be back in 2017. Yeah,
okay.
So we'll be coming back through there. But definitely right now, it's all about the West Coast edition of the Slingshot David Tour. It starts December 3rd in Portland. Like you said, we're in Seattle December 4th, and then we're going through California and down to Phoenix, Arizona as well. So, yeah,
nice.
I'm excited about it. Yeah, and
very cool. So I'm on the list now. So next time you come back this way, I will definitely be there. Wish you the best with, you know, spreading this message and with, you know, developing your career. You're super talented, and I really do appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Not often that I get to talk to somebody who combines two things that I'm really passionate about. One is, of course, personal finances. And number two, good music that you can dance to, but has something on the brain for you. It's not just fluff. So I really appreciate the time that I had with D1 today. Remember, he's starting his West Coast tour. So if you're living on the West Coast of the United States, then you want to check out his website, d1music.com, for tour dates, or you can just head over, like you said, and check out his music for free. That's pretty cool. All links mentioned today will be available at my website, debtfreedivas.org. Again, the show notes for this episode are D1, a fiscally responsible hip-hop messenger for good. While you're there, make sure you sign up for the Hidden Money Challenge. It's a six-day challenge, free challenge, to help you do more with the money that you're already making. We have a lot of people going through. Folks are really excited. They're finding this challenge to be very helpful. I'm getting great feedback from it, and I really want to have you join us. So, again, head over to my website, debtfreedivas.org. Until we talk again, folks, you have a great money week.